Christ is the peace of God who creates and redeems and sustains all things.
This is the third revelation. It's literally called an epiphany in the Gospel of John. This is the third epiphany, third time Jesus appears to the disciples after the resurrection. And it's one of the strangest of the revelations that Jesus brings to the disciples. As I said in the children's sermon, the disciples had seen Jesus in Jerusalem. They had then one day decided they were just going to go back to what they were doing before. So they go, and Peter gets some of them, Nathanael and some of the others, to go fishing with him at night. And they hear from Jesus unexpectedly. Now, we've all heard the story many, many, many times, and I've even preached it a million different ways. And so often the way that the story is interpreted is that the role of the church is to catch people, right? Cast our net out, get more people in the church. It was a way to think about spirituality and our work in the church as sort of collecting souls in a way. And so the disciples, having finally gotten it right, start pulling in this net that, though full of fish, was unbroken. Not sure, at least in today's understanding of our spiritual life, that's maybe the best way to think about it. As I read through this story, I kept seeing the same thing over and over again. I kept seeing Jesus making community, making disciples, or at least making them again. Having experienced all that they had experienced in Jesus' torture and death and his crucifixion and then the momentary joy of the resurrection, they find themselves in diaspora. Not only are they not all together again, but also even in their minds, Peter is saying, you know, it's all over, we need to go back to what we were doing before, and they do. And Jesus calls them back. Not around the Eucharist, because it turns out there is no Last Supper in the Gospel of John. There's no Eucharist. So it's interesting that as they're out on the water, Jesus is on the beach with bread and fish. Does that sound at all familiar to anyone in the room? Bread and fish. Yes. How many were at the feeding of the 5,000? We don't actually know. It says actually 5,000 plus men, women, and animals. So the feeding of the whole bunch of people. Yes. Bread and fish. Readers of the Gospel of John would be going, hey dudes, there's bread and fish. Something is happening here. So here's Jesus in this weird story, sitting on the beach, which I love, with a charcoal fire, which I love, and saying to them, come and eat. Bring your fish. And they eat bread and broiled fish. And suddenly it begins to dawn on them. Remember, the disciple who Jesus loved, of course, recognized him right away. Peter put on his clothes and jumped in the water, and the rest of them were not so sure. But in the breaking of bread and fish, they begin to see in whose midst they are. They have their doubts, and it says in the gospel, and they were all afraid to say, who are you, Lord? But Jesus gathers them back together and begins to form of them a community again. I don't think it's accidental that John has that community formed around the community meal. The feeding of the 5,000 becomes the feeding of the disciples, becomes our Eucharist, where each week we feed and we eat and we gather as God's disciples. Jesus is about the task, I think, in this gospel of telling us what discipleship looks like. About being engaged in our vocation, about casting our nets on the right side, about coming to shore together, and together, you know, I love the Hawaiian term hukilau. You know, hukilauing together, they pull the fish in, and then they gather around the community meal, and then Jesus pulls Peter aside to teach us more about discipleship. And he says to Peter, Peter, do you agape me? Do you love me unconditionally? That's the word that's used when Jesus asked the question. Do you love me like God loves you, agape? And Peter says, oh Lord, of course I phileo you. Brotherly love. Jesus asks him, do you agape me? And Peter says, of course I phileo you. And then Jesus asks again. And he says to him, feed my sheep. And then he says, Peter, do you agape me? And Peter says, oh Lord, you know. You know that I do. You know that I phileo you. And I almost think in an act of desperation or at least resignation, Jesus finally says, okay, Peter, do you phileo me? And Peter, angered that he had asked him three times, said, Lord, you know everything. Of course I phileo you. Of course I love you. And Jesus says, tend my sheep. With each declaration of love, this newly re-minted disciple is given an instruction. Do you love me? Yes, I love you. Feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me? Yes, I love you, Lord. Feed my sheep, or tend my sheep. And then the third time, Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Jesus shows Peter and us what discipleship is like. It is gathered around the truth of the one who sets us free. It is gathering together around meals. It is gathering together around fish and bread and wine. And then it is feeding the world. Being sent out. Discipleship is more than coming to the divine potluck and then leaving before the dishes need to be done. It is being sent out into the world to feed God's sheep. Tend God's sheep. Feed God's lambs. In a way, it puts a lie. In a way, to the work that we've thought the church was about for all these years. For a good 80 or so years of the church's history, the sort of European Anglo church has simply opened up the neck of the net, right? You just opened up your doors and then people came streaming in, right? That was the 40s and 50s. I've just finished an article recently about, you know, the changes in the church, and they said, you know, the days when we opened our doors and people came swimming in are long gone. There's a hole in the bottom of the net, at least for the Anglo-European churches. But what if that was never our purpose? What if what we need to learn in this new understanding of discipleship is to swim out of the net? if this is our net into which we have all been swept in for a nice little time of joyful singing and general frivolity. I don't know. Nobody really describes church that way, but it'd be nice. What if our calling is, in fact, then to be let out, to let ourselves out of the net into that dangerous ocean, into the world? What if it turns out that God's calling us to be disciples and to tend and feed sheep and lambs is really about going out there where God is already doing ministry? One famous theologian recently said, God is already loose in the world doing God's work everywhere that you can look. The question for the church will be, will we join God in that endeavor? So maybe discipleship has something to do with swimming out of the net into the wild places where God is already loose in the world. And there, living out that discipleship of gathering people around bread and fish and wine, feeding the world, pointing again and again to this full net of love that is swelled almost to bursting that we can let loose on the world. What if discipleship is less about us and more about our world? So Peter, at the end of his encounter with Jesus, finds out that, like Paul, things are not what he thought. Peter will then go on to be the rock to which he has been called. The disciples will find their way to their new vocation of discipleship, and the world will be made whole, at least for a while. And even Saul, who proclaims himself the most broken among us, will find in this new discipleship a purpose for his life. The gathering of God's children together in community. And so, my good fish, may we all be God's disciples, swimming out of our net into the world and gathering around God's peaceful, joyful and wonderful meal of reconciliation and love. And may we gather here and there that we might be disciples for Christ, messengers of love for the world. Amen.